Hello, welcome to the Edgewood Astronomy Outreach Podcast. I am Melissa.
And I'm Kylie.
And we are members of the Astronomy Outreach Team. And today we will be discussing our home in the universe, the Milky Way galaxy. Although neither of us are experts on galaxies, we spent some time investigating for the listeners today.
I had so much fun researching. It's one of my favorite parts of science is to get to learn about things that we don't know and use our background knowledge to teach them to others. So I'm excited to learn and teach about our galactic home today.
Me too. So let's get started. So the Milky Way is something that we hear about when we are young as the place that harbors the sun and therefore the Earth. But where exactly are we in the grand scheme of everything is a little less clear. As far as we know, our galactic address is on planet Earth, the third planet from the sun in the solar system, found in the Orion spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, which then sits in the local group of the Virgo supercluster, which is in Lania Kea supercluster. And that's a lot to say in the universe.
Yeah, it is a lot. I wouldn't really want to write that on an envelope and send a letter. But it turns out that where we are is actually much more complex than we're led to believe at a young. And to discover our place in the Milky Way, scientists had to gather data on over 8,000 galaxies and create a map of all of them. The final product looked kind of like a tree branch with lots of galaxies at the ends where the leaves would be and fewer on the branch structure. And we think that this makes sense because of the way that gravity manipulates clumps of gas, and that those clumps of gas need to condense to be able to form the galactic structures we have today, which we call superclusters.
So the galaxies are formed by condensing clumps of gas. So is that why all of the astrophotography we see of the Milky Way on Earth show a cloud-like belt across the sky?
Sort of, but the gas is actually left over from galactic formation and star formation. And the reason that we see this gas and dust and all the clouds across the belt of the Milky Way is because the stars on the other side are illuminating it. And so we're actually seeing a starlight from stars near the edges of that gas cloud, near the galactic center of the Milky Way.
And we know that we're looking at the galactic center because of the bright starlight coming from behind the clouds. So it would make sense to be looking more towards dense regions if it's brighter than the foreground stars. We also know that the Milky Way is a spiral galaxy, so it would make sense to have high densities of stars near the bulge where all of the arms meet.
But how we know the Milky Way is a spiral galaxy is way more interesting than that. What we do is we use stellar densities to understand where the bright regions are, and then astronomers make a map of all of the space surrounding us using a wide-field infrared survey explorer called WISE.
Oh, so why would we use infrared light?
Because we don't have a choice. You remember those gas and clouds we just talked about? All mm-hmm. that dust and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That dust causes all sorts of issues for astronomers, and the light coming off of the stars surrounding or embedded inside of this dust just reflect away in all directions in nearly every single color except infrared. And by looking using infrared light, we can see through the dust, kind of like a superhero's version of X-ray vision, but for infrared light. What we see then are these bright spots of stars embedded in gaseous spiral arms where the star-forming regions are, or as astronomers call them, stellar nurseries.
So stellar nurseries are only formed in the spiral arms of the galaxy. Does that mean that we don't find star formation in elliptical galaxies?
Like all good answers in science, that depends. Sometimes we do find star formation in elliptical galaxies. It is just less profound of an effect. We also think of the spiral structure as a younger type of structure, which tend to be more star forming. We think that that spiral structures are younger because it's difficult to maintain that detailed, delicate structure in the violent environment of space. And as space expands, we think that galaxies are less likely to have spiral structures quote unquote newer in the galactic scheme of things.
Yeah, and space is literally expanding, so making it more difficult for the stuff in space to interact, meaning that more delicate structures like spiral arms must have been formed in friendlier environments. And if we see star formation within these younger structures, what does that mean about the age of the Milky Way compared to the others in the supercluster?
Well, that's a really difficult question, and I couldn't really find any concrete literature addressing this question. Instead, we think that most galaxies are formed somewhere between 10 and 13.1 billion years ago, with a few exceptions. For example, the Andromeda Galaxy is our nearest full-size galactic companion, and we think that's 10 billion years old, whereas our galaxy, the Milky Way, is about 13.1 billion years old. But both are examples of spiral galaxies.
Yeah, so I've always been told, speaking of Andromeda, I've always been told that Andromeda and the Milky Way are going to collide one day, and there will be a galaxy merger. So will this change the Milky Way, or is there so much gas that we shouldn't expect much from this interaction?
So this interaction has been studied in detail because scientists are always fascinated with actual galactic events instead of these theorized ones we make up. To study the potential merger between the Milky Way and the Andromeda Galaxy, we've actually studied other galaxy mergers and evidence of the past. So, for example, the Tadpole Galaxy looks kind of like a tadpole with a head and a little tail, and we think that that tail is a leftover remnant of a galaxy merger. By looking at this evidence, we can sort of figure out what everything should have looked like before the merger and what we think that our galaxies are going to look like after. So we can think of it kind of like a car accident reconstruction, where you're trying to see what happened prior to understand what you're looking at now.
So we can expect our galaxy mergers to look like other galaxy mergers. What types of changes should we expect to experience?
Well, because all of the stars are so spaced out, much of the stellar anatomy won't really change. We don't really expect many star-on-star collisions, and some stars might be ejected from collisions, like a few, or they might be ejected because of gravitational imbalance, so we might lose a few stars, but we don't really expect this interaction to be very violent. What we do expect are the supermassive black holes in the center of the galaxies to merge many billions and millions of years after the galaxy merger. And the excess dust and gas is expected to restart some star formation in the galaxies, which will be really good because by that time, we'll pretty much have burned through a lot of our star-forming material.
So the galaxy sort of resets and recycles material after a merger. That really gives us a lot to think about when we call the Milky Way galaxy home in the universe.
Thanks for joining us today. If you want more frequent astronomy-related news and information, remember that you can always catch us on Facebook at the Edgewood Astronomy Outreach. We post themed content every week and keep followers engaged and informed. And until next time, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Melissa.
And happy sky hunting.